Welcome back to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton, and we have just gotten off of the phones at Share-a-thon.
Yeah, at the time of this recording, It is the last day of Share-a-thon, which this, when you actually hear this, it'll be after.
A few days ago.
Yeah. Now, you can still, that doesn't mean, you can still call and give in if you have not, or go to AFR.net if you want to donate. So if you haven't, please consider that. If you can't give, that's okay. Please just take time to pray over us and mainly pray. I think I was actually asked by one of the callers what they could pray for. And at that moment, the one thing I could think of is the same thing I want to ask you guys to pray for. And that is that what we're doing, that we won't center it around ourselves, and that we will center it around God and what he has for us.
Yeah.
And that if we are doing something that God hasn't called us to do, that we'll move away from it. No matter what it is, even if it seems like it's a good thing, but if God has not called us and it's getting in the way of what he has called us to do, I pray that we will move away from that.
Absolutely.
So if you are just, if you're tuning in, please, Put us in your prayers.
Absolutely.
Put me in your prayers. Mm-hmm. I would really appreciate that.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Well, we did. I always enjoy talking to the supporters who call in. It's always great to hear the encouragement for us as well, because they just say, you know, how much AFA and AFR mean to them, and it's part of their daily lives, and how grateful they are for the things that we do here. So it really touches my heart to be a part of that experience for them, and to be part of that blessing for them. So, but they are also part of a blessing for us as well when we get to have those kind of interactions. So Share-a-thon really is a special time around here. So thank you so much for everybody who's listening, who has called in or has donated. We really appreciate your support. And you're standing with us. You're partnering with us in our mission to spread the gospel, to stand with the church, to bless the church, and to hopefully shape the culture in a way that honors God. And speaking of honoring God, our topic is today is something that we've kind of touched on before.
Yeah,
we've talked about this concept of deconstruction in the past. And for those of you who might not know what that term is, it's kind of a relatively new term when it comes to this topic.
But the idea, like what is happening, is a tells all the time.
Yeah, we just have a fancy new word for it, and it's become a trendy thing.
Yeah.
Essentially, deconstruction is when you have a person in the church, not necessarily a young person, but a lot of times a young person, who begins to go on this journey of, and at first it may seem like a very noble thing, go on this journey of, you know, asking questions about the faith, and getting to this point where, you know what, they decide that they're not Christian anymore. They're not going to follow the Lord anymore. Sometimes it doesn't go to that extreme.
Sometimes when we say deconstruct, people say deconstruct, they just say they're moving from the faith they were raised in, usually.
Yeah.
And they still consider themselves Christians. Yeah. They just don't believe what they were taught growing up.
And that point right there, I think, is what we're kind of going to talk about today a bit, because in some regards, we've all done that, right? I don't think very many people who grew up in the church under, you know, with Christian parents as adults agree 100% to the letter with everything that their parents taught them.
Yeah. I think I've, for the most part, you know, like as far as I can tell, talking with my parents, still our beliefs line up pretty well. But there just still came a point, when I was growing up, where I'm like, do I believe this because it's true?
Right.
Because it says it in Scripture? Do I believe it because of that? Or do I believe it because my parents taught me it?
Right, yeah.
And, that's something to consider. And I'm not trying to cause rebellion. in the home. But I will encourage, and this goes for the parents too, that whatever, this goes for the parents and what you are teaching your kids. If you're teaching and you're sitting there thinking like, okay, where did I get this idea? Did I get it from another person?
Yeah.
Or did I actually get it from scriptures? Take time to go through the Word of God. And because we say this, I think I say it almost every episode, get into the Word.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like making sure that you're following the path of what God has said.
Yeah. Well, and two, you know, we can talk about deconstruction. And usually when I think of deconstruction, I think of somebody like Joshua Harris, a very famous young person, Christian, who he wrote the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which caused a huge stir in the purity culture section of Christianity in the States, and was very, very influential in a lot of young Christians' lives. Later on down the road, he decided, I feel like it started off, he said he was going to take a break from Christianity, and then it became
Which you really can't do if you're actually a Christian.
it became a permanent break for him, let's just say that.
If you're either a Christian or you're not, and I will say that now. I mean, if you're having doubts and stuff, I think it is very good for you to find some good, strong believers and spend time in the Word and spend time getting counseling.
Yeah, absolutely. But we do have, there is another example of another person who I would say is probably just as influential as Joshua Harris. We have Ginger Duggar. She wrote a book recently, and I'm blanking on the, it's Becoming Free Indeed. is what the book is called. My wife read it, and she was like, Jordan, you got to look at this book. It's really great. And it's detailing her journey, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know about the Duggar family. And somewhat controversial, I would say, especially in the past couple of years since when, you know, the person who they really followed, his name is Bill Gothard, it came out that he was not living up to the life he was preaching. And the life that he was preaching in my opinion, and in Jill, and I'm sorry, Ginger's opinion, was a life of legalism. And so she wrote this book where she did not go through a deconstruction, where she said, I'm walking away from the entire thing. Religion is not for me. I'm going into worldliness. It wasn't like that at all. It was, you know what? I'm going to go back to scriptures. I'm going to let God lead me to the truth. And it was a disentangling for her. So she was disentangling true faith and true obedience to God from this system that she was raised in that turned out to be, you know, legalism and works-based righteousness. She turned her back on that false version of Christianity and is living a different life in obedience to the Lord. So there is a way to address doubts in your life when it comes to religion and comes to faith in a way that does honor the Lord. And the heart of that should always be to come to the truth and to draw closer to God and not use those doubts as a way to put up walls between you and God.
Yeah.
I think
I will say the whole idea, going back to the Joshua Harris situation, you're not going to find answers from taking a break from Christianity. If you want the answers that God has for you, you have to spend more time with Him, more time in the Word. If you're confused, you're not going to get your answers out in the world. If you're looking for something, if you're wanting to ask God the questions, that's where your answers are going to be. But you have a list of questions here.
I do.
And we're not going to get to all of them, which kind of makes me sad. Because there are some points here. But the first one, like I sat there and I, like when you first sent me these talking points, I sat there and thought about this first one for like an hour, just going over it in my head. And you asked, what are some main reasons young people are questioning or leaving their faith today? And that seems like such a simple question. But I think it goes to, like you said, the Duggars. You have the ones who are in some sort of belief system that does not reflect God at all. And they have their kids in it, and they expect their kids to follow it. And then their kids start asking questions. And then when you become an adult and you're able to move out on your own, it just, a lot of them move away from it.
Right.
Like the whole college experience gets to you.
So I think that there's no one answer for this. I mean, there's probably as many answers as there are young people questioning or
leaving. It just depends
their faith
on what home, what house, what person we're talking about.
But there may be some things, I think, in our world that really influence the way that young people think within the church. And I think if we're not careful, we can fall into some traps, you know, and as parents, we need to be aware of the voices that our children are hearing on a day-to-day basis, the people who are discipling them, not just in their homes and not just in schools or in the church, but also just through media in general, just
everywhere.
Any sort of, absolutely anywhere. So there's a lot of reasons why I think young people would be questioning or leaving their faith.
Yeah.
I think while I do believe that exposure to the marketplace of ideas where you're free to express yourself and hear other people and learn, I think it's a wonderful thing, and I'm glad that we have that in our nation. I do think that a completely unsheltered young mind out there in that realm can be asking for trouble. So, you know, unbridled, you know, connection to the internet, social media, things like that. Things that should be really appropriate for an older age, I think.
Yeah, you need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Don't turn a blind eye to what your kids are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many times where I've seen where parents are completely uninterested in something their kid is interested in.
Right.
Like their kid is talking about video games or something. Let's just say that as an example. Well, a lot of our age, our parents didn't grow up with video games the way we do. They did have they did have them.
Yeah.
To a point, but not the way we do.
Pong, Pac-Man.
Yeah. So most of the time, our parents in our age group are not really interested in hearing about video games. And then and even more so now with the kids that are growing up now. So even if you're not interested in the same things, take time to let your kids talk to you.
Yes.
Create this open dialogue with them where they feel that they can. That doesn't mean you condone and accept every idea they bring your way, but let them know that whatever it is, that you will be willing to sit and talk with them.
Be the person that they want to talk to. Don't be the person that they're like, you know what, I have this thing that's really weighing on me, but I can't talk to mom and dad about it because they might react a certain way or they might think of me a certain way. Don't give that impression to your children or any young person in your life, if you're not a parent, but you do have young people in your life, be the kind of person who is approachable, who they think, you know what, I can trust them and I'm going to go to them with this burden that I have. And even if they don't agree with me or if they think the thing that is on my mind is probably not appropriate, you can still be a safe person to go to.
Yeah.
They know that
number one, you're going to keep your anger in check and you're going to talk to them, yell, I'm sorry, but yelling is not...
That's a quick way to shut a kid up forever and never hear anything that's on their mind.
If you start screaming at me, I've done decided, okay, I'm never bringing anything to you ever
exactly.
again.
Exactly, yeah. That's not the kind of relationship you want to build.
Now, sometimes kids will, even if you disagree with them in a calmer manner and you have a discussion with them, will it always work out perfectly where your kid comes to you about everything? No.
Right.
It all goes back to we live in an imperfect world, full of sin.
Sure.
So that's going to happen. But the chances of me, I've talked to my parents all the time about things.
Yeah.
And if my parents had spent my whole childhood just screaming at me every time I was wrong about something, I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I call my mom every day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 32.
Yeah.
I call her every single day, and just to say hi sometimes.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't answer, I'm like, how dare you?
Strongly worded text inbound.
Voicemails. I'll call her and I'll leave.
I go the extra mile.
I'll leave 30-minute voicemails until it cuts me off.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you think you're doing. I know you think you're grown. I know you think that you were grown. But I have to tell you about the wonderful chicken nuggets I had at lunch today. And I need you to note where it is because that's where we're going for lunch.
Sure.
Tomorrow.
It's important.
You know. Type situations, which those are small things, but I always, big things, I'll talk to my parents about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying my parents were perfect.
Right.
But, I always knew that I could talk to them. And and to this day, that carries over. I can talk to them. So I'm not saying, I don't think the way to do it is to condone and to overlook things.
Sure.
Or to create this, I remember seeing parents that are like, well, if I don't let them do it here, they're going to go do it out there.
Oh, goodness.
I'm like, that is,
no.
No, 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 no.
No, if you let them do it here, they will do it out there. That's
for sure.
That's, you're just guaranteeing it. Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
Well, and that's good. That's a great point to be approachable as an adult, as a influence in someone's life. I will say, the goal here is not to make sure that your child never questions things.
Yeah.
I feel like that would also be really. I don't know what the word is. I guess unhealthy. Like, part of discipleship is accepting questions. And whoever is, you know, looking up to you, whether that's your child or someone you're discipling, is just like scared to ask questions.
Yeah.
Because that's not the kind of thing. I mean, like, Jesus's disciples asked him questions all the time, questions about central issues in the faith that were very, very important to Jews in those days. I mean, questions that if they had gone to any other authority might have been, you know, how dare you question this? But Jesus was able to accept those questions and handle them with grace. We don't want to stifle, you know, the ability to think in our children. One thing that you don't want to do, I know we've turned this all of a sudden into raising children, but that's just where I'm coming from as a dad. We don't want to turn our children or our disciples or whoever we're talking to into, you know, mindless automatons that follow the religion. You know, we don't want to do that. These are living beings who are created in the image of God. They have a brain. Let's encourage its use. And yeah, they're going to have questions about things that are really difficult, but we should, you know, be willing to accept those questions and not shame, I guess, or not come down too hard on questions that maybe we don't feel prepared to ask. Maybe if there's a question that you don't have an answer for, explore it together.
Be honest.
Be honest. Oh, yes. That's
a
big one.
Be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, if your child finds out that you are just throwing stuff out there, they're not going to listen to you anymore. So that's when you take the time to not to say, like, I'm not really sure about that. You know what? Let's dive into the Word together.
Yeah.
And we'll find those answers, because that's part of it. You don't just give them the answers.
Yeah.
You got to teach them how to find them themselves.
Right.
So one thing I encourage big time is scripture memory.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've mentioned it before. Mm-hmm. Growing up, we did lots of scripture memory things, Bible drills and all that. And that, like, they're lodged in this brain,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going anywhere, a lot of them. So that has helped. So, I mean, do that at home.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one thing that bears mentioning is we talk a lot about the questioning and the doubts and, you know, having these kind of conversations, but it doesn't really do us any good if we don't know what foundation we're standing on.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a list here of five essential doctrines that really are the foundation of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to go down the list real quick. And these and again, look, I didn't go through seminary. I'm not a, you know, professional biblical scholar, you know, and everything like that. But I feel like this is just the commonsensical theological bedrock of Christianity. So first we have the existence of God, one God who created everything. We have the fallen nature of humanity. We are sinful. There is Jesus Christ, who he is. He is God. He is man. Both of those things together, 100%. And his work, the things that he accomplished. He was born. He lived a perfect, sinless human life, perfectly obedient to God, and he died and was resurrected. So all these things together. And then fourth, we have redemption, the idea that we can be saved. We can be saved from our sinful, fallen nature through the life and work of Jesus. And fifth, and finally, is life in eternity. When we die, we don't just snuff out of existence.
Yeah.
We're destined to a glorious life in eternity in a body. I will add that the Bible does say we will be resurrected just as Christ was resurrected. So we can expect, if we have faith in Christ, to live forever with him. So all of those truths together, in my opinion, and I feel like this is generally accepted throughout Orthodox Christianity as this is the foundation of the faith. There's also all sorts of creeds that break these down further. There's the, you know, obviously the Apostles' Creed. Every denomination sort of has a creed or a sort of a confession of faith that they point back to as sort of like, this is how we interpret these general truths. But in general, I think that all Orthodox Christianity denominations, whatever denomination you find yourself in, we can agree with these things.
Yes.
And these are the essentials.
And if there are anything, you know, on that list that mm-hmm. I think if you have doubt of, mm-hmm. that is something that I think needs to be addressed.
Yeah, sure.
Is something you need, because like this, these 5 points, mm-hmm. those are essential for salvation.
Yeah.
Is knowing that there is a powerful, like an all-powerful God mm-hmm. who created you and created the universe you live in. And that, number two, you sinned against him.
Yeah.
And number three, that Jesus Christ came mm-hmm. and fulfilled everything so that he might be able to save you. Four, again, you have turned your life completely over to him
yeah.
and are born again in Christ. And then yeah. from that, you gain eternity in mm-hmm. heaven, like with Christ.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the things that we hold to as true. And if one of those points are true, then sort of the whole thing kind of falls apart. Now, within this, I mean, obviously, if I look down the list, there has been times in my life where I didn't have doubts about that truth in and of itself, but more of how you apply it or yeah. more of how you interpret it from the scripture. So a lot of people, you know, take the second, you know, the second issue there, fallen nature of humans. Some people will say, you know, humans are 100% fully sinful, that there is no good in a person, period. Like there's yeah. not one shred of good. And then some other people who are still Christians and love the Lord and are obeying God and, you know, reading their Bibles and indwelled by the same Holy Spirit will say something a little different. They'll say, yes, we have a sinful nature, but there is still some good in us. And there's a discussion that sometimes is ongoing about that. And so we can sort of approach these things slightly differently as long as, you know, we're being led by the Holy Spirit, we're walking in obedience with God. But again, when we accept these things as true, they're true somehow.
Yeah.
And no matter how you approach these or what your perspective is on these truths, you still hold these as objective. And I think when we talk about questioning or doubts or anything, we need to really discern between doubts on these essentials and then doubts on more secondary issues. And I feel like sometimes people get kind of scared about doubts on secondary issues and don't know how to handle them because there's some secondary issues that are awfully important to us, right? I mean, there's some
yeah.
there's some secondary issues that people have primary feelings on.
Yeah. And, you know, I've actually had a situation where someone has prayed over mm-hmm. me because they believed that I was living a life of sin
mm.
because I did not believe exactly to the letter, like what they believed. We were
yeah.
different denominations and mm-hmm. everything. And while I do feel an appreciation mm-hmm. that they, because they really did believe this.
Yeah.
And the fact that they had so much care for me in their heart that they prayed that I would change my ways. Now, I still don't agree with them.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that. But I think that, that wasn't any of these five
right. yeah.
four things. It was like something like I cut my hair, I think it was what it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Cedra, shameful.
No. And here's the thing. I know there are a lot of people out there mm-hmm. who do believe that that women should not cut their hair. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine.
Yeah.
If you believe that and you don't cut your hair, obviously, I don't, which you may not know it looking at me now because mm-hmm. I've not had a haircut and I don't know when and I've
right.
got extreme hair here. But yeah, obviously, I do believe that it's okay for me to cut my hair.
Right.
But if you don't, that's fine.
Yeah. And I know that it's kind of a tricky thing
yeah.
to deal with this and to know how much grace you need to have. Because, I mean, there's a reason there are denominations.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that at some point we had to be like, you know what? We believe things that are different enough that we probably should start different churches. At some point that happened along the way. But also, if I'm sitting in a room as a Baptist— If I'm talking to a Methodist or a Presbyterian, I'm gonna get along with them, right? I'm not gonna agree with every little point of theology that they have.
Yeah.
Some more than others, But again, I accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, like, so at some point, we do have to know, you know, how do we handle these situations? Say, for instance, your child comes to you, again, going back to the child picture, your child comes to you and says, you know, I'm converting to a different denomination. I'm going to start attending the Anglican church down the street. And you might have some very strong opinions about that. But again, you need to, even though that may, there may be whatever situation you're finding yourself in, you might want to have a discussion about that. Just go back to the, what is the foundation of the scriptures? What is the foundation of the faith for all Christians, not just your particular denomination, but all Christians? What is important? What is true? And if there is no conflict with that, then the grace comes in. Mm-hmm. And you can disagree with each other in grace, and you can pray for each other and hope that each other finds the truth, even if you both are in the wrong. And I think that that needs to be what flavors our response to all of this.
Yeah. And just knowing that questions are not bad.
Questions are not bad.
Questions are not a bad thing. Mm. Questions are what keep you from just thoughtlessly following some human.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I love my church, and I love and I trust my pastor.
Yeah.
But I never want to take just what he says as the gospel truth because he said it.
Right, exactly.
I take it because he puts it along with scripture, mm-hmm. and then I'm in the scripture, so that helps me to know what he's saying is scripturally sound. And he would say the same thing. He doesn't want me to follow what he says just because he said it. He encourages us to be in the word ourselves. So questions are not a bad thing. So if if you're a leader in a church and there's a church member, whether it be a child or adult, coming to you with questions, that's a good thing.
Spend time with them. Spend time
in the Word yourself. Get those answers.
Absolutely. It's an opportunity. Well, that'll bring us to the end of this episode, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. It was a great discussion. We'll probably do a part two of this one, I think.
I think we should.
And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.